he's doing marvelously awesome. Ah, just too much. Hallelujah. And believe me, when you're in the ministry, you need it. And but God always shows up, doesn't he? He's always there to help, to guide, to direct. And we lean on him. Just lean on him. I like the story in the Bible where John says the apostle that Jesus loved leaned on his chest or his lean on his breast. And we like to see ourselves that way also, that we just keep leaning on him because he's that strong tower, he's that strength, and he's the one that we depend on. And I know you know that. Amen? Well, I kept praying when once Mary told me that I would minister today, and I said, oh Lord, what do I say? What do I do? And for a long time the Lord was just silent, and I started panicking. And then eventually he led me to this. And I am so glad that your praise and worship team sang about Jesus and his death. But the topic from what I'm going to talk about is seeing Jesus and God with us. Now, how do you see Jesus? You know, when I first got saved, and you hear about Jesus, he's the husband to the backslider. He's this, he's that, and I'm saying, come on, he's a spirit. He's not here. So, how do you relate to him? How do you relate to him? But as I grew in my knowledge and in worship of him, I began to realize he is so ever present. Amen. He never leaves us. He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when I looked it up in the Bible to see where it was, do you know in Hebrews 13:5 he says, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But then I went to, it showed me three more times in the Old Testament where he said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. And I was taught that when you see something is repeated, pay attention. Pay attention. Like in the old days, verily, verily, I say unto you. Surely, surely, I say unto you. And when he says all these things more than once, pay extra attention, okay? Now, I've also learned that Jesus is the Word. He's the Word, and what else is he? He's the written Word, and he's the spoken Word, and he is the Word in flesh. Okay, in John 1, it says that Jesus was with God. And in John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, what more do we want? He is the written Word, he is the spoken Word, and he is the Word in flesh. And we don't pay enough attention, to the Word. Sometimes we hear things and it just whoops right by you. Or you might just say, oh, I know that already. And you don't pay any attention to it. And then I started reading in Luke 20:24. And it was really amazing to me. You know when you read the Word of God, that there are times things just jump out at you. Words that you have read how many times. But this particular time, it just jumps right out at you, and you have to pay attention. Anyway, one of the things that Jesus did while on earth was he opened blinded eyes. He opened the eyes of those that were blind. He opened the ears of those that were deaf. And he instructed us to do the same thing. How many eyes have you opened? How many deaf have you prayed for and they're hearing? How many of you have your eyes open? You might not be physically deaf, you might not be physically blind, but so many of us are spiritually blind and deaf. And Jesus was constantly doing, when he was on earth, he was constantly doing physically and spiritually, trying to get the eyes of the people open. But, and then this is his way of showing us how to do it. But we let that little old Satan talk us out of it. We let him say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're not Jesus. You're not Jesus. But I thought about it and I prayed about it. Because as I was reading it, I saw so many things. Now, let's turn to Luke 24. And we will see. It's something that we read every Easter, practically. And then I thought, well, Easter is long gone. So, you know, we don't need to read this anymore. But just bear with me, okay? He says in Luke 24, verse 1, we're starting at verse 1. And now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there were certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices that they had prepared. This is a New King James I'm reading. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day they rose again. And the third day rose again. And they remembered his word. Mark, listen to this. And they remembered his word after the angels reminded them. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. We're talking about us, people like us. Here we know Jesus had spent, especially those last 3 years of his life, telling them all these things, telling them what would happen, telling them what would happen to him, telling what would happen to them, telling them everything. But here, on this day, they did not remember any of it. Sp- spiritual. We talk about blindness. We talk about physical blindness. We know physical blindness is a result of birth defects, accidents, and diseases. Spiritual blindness happens mostly when there's a crisis. When there's a crisis, my brother said that this week he had a rough week, and I'm sure his attention was turned to whatever the crisis was or whatever was going on. His attention was towards that, and we tend to do that. Whenever there's a crisis, whenever we become fearful, whenever we doubt, whether unbelief, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, discouragement and discouragement. When our hope, we do not see our hope or our expectations. I tell you something that happened to me when I had this great expectation about something, an incident that happened between me and one of my fellow, one of the ladies that used to work with me. And she, see, we let things happen and we respond. We just respond, especially us ladies. We just respond. But, you know, sometimes we have to look at what's going on. And so this lady, her husband left her. They used to work with us, and they moved on and went somewhere else. And her husband left her and just packed up his thing and came up to the States. And it was somebody who went there from my church who came back and told me that this man was gone. And I said, no. This is not what we expected from him. Okay? And he left her. And when I went over to see her. And I said, what happened? And she was so bitter. She was so hurt. And she said to me, I don't want anybody to talk to me about anything. I don't want anybody to talk to me about anything. I don't want anybody to encourage me or anybody to tell me anything about the Lord and anything like this. However, I did stay and I tried to keep in touch with her and try to help her any way that I could. And the next thing I dreamt that he had returned, that he was back in Montego Bay. So I called her up and she said to me, yes, he's back. I said, wow. I said, I thought you would call me and let me know. She said, no, why should I call you and let you know? The same way you knew, the same person who told you that he was gone should have told you that he's back. And I remember being so hurt. Yes, I was so hurt. I said, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And anyway, I went to my favorite person, the Lord Jesus, and I said to him, now, Lord, you know that wasn't right. And the Lord said to me, he said, Yvonne, I want you to learn one thing. Your expectation is not necessarily that other person's expectation. What was her expectation? She didn't have any expectation of telling you or getting you involved in it. It was your expectation. Yeah. And I had to learn that sometimes, you know, you're in a relationship with people or you're talking to people. I mean, even your spouse. And you have your expectation and they have their expectation. And what we're doing, we're expecting them to fulfill your expectation instead of theirs. So here we are. Expectations. Your hope. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to read on, okay? Starting verse 13 here. And behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. you know, about the crucifixion and everything that had happened in Jerusalem 3 days ago. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. So we are hoping that it was he, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things have happened." What was their expectation? What was their hope? Was that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. And Jesus stood there and told them, no, that's not what I'm here for. Jesus kept telling them that I'm going to die and that I will be crucified. Well, maybe not crucified, but I'm going to die. But what did they concentrate on? What did they think on? Their hope and their expectation of Jesus. Many people believe that's why Judas betrayed Jesus, because he was hoping that Jesus would go in with the sword, kill off everybody, kill off all the Romans, and release Jerusalem from the Romans. And he, again, is disappointed because of his hope, his expectation, and he didn't hear what Jesus was saying to him. Okay? We have to be careful to hear, maybe not be what we want to hear, but if we give him first place, is what he's saying that we must listen to and put our hopes and our expectations aside. You get into a crisis, and the first thing you're feeling is maybe you're hurt. You're hurt. And it's like, how could they do this to me? I didn't deserve this. But maybe we got into a crisis because we weren't listening to what Jesus is saying to us or what Jesus has said to us. We have to listen. We have to be conscious. You know, one of the things that I'm always conscious of, whenever Jesus or an angel or somebody from heaven come to a human being, the first thing they would say, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." Because when you're afraid, you do all kinds of stupid things. Mm-hmm. You forget all the things that the Lord had said, all the things that you read in the Word, all the things that you know, and when you pass the preacher and talk to you, you forget all of that. Because now you're afraid, you're trembling, and you're running for a corner to hide in and to be. What about when Jesus says, "Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Don't run. Don't hide." He says, "I'm with you always. And I'm here to protect you and to take care of you." And yet, how many of us really believe that? How many people really, really believe that God, in the form of Jesus, is saying, "I'm going to be with you always. I am always with you. I'm always going to take care of you. I'm always going to," when the time of fear and crisis and everything, you forget all of that. All of that just go out of your head. And Jesus is saying, "I'm here. I'm here. Look to me. Turn to me." All right. When you get discouraged, You know, I'm learning that when I get discouraged, I just say, well, Lord, you have me in your hands. You have everything that I'm about in your hands. You told me that. So whatever happens is what you let happen. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Whatever is happening, whatever disappointment or discouragement that I have, it's because you let happen, because I know you have something greater for me. Some of you are looking at me, she's crazy. No, but hey, we have to believe the word. When there's doubt and unbelief, you run into so many problems. We have to recognize whenever we doubt the word. And unbelief. Here, when in the first part I read there, when the woman came and said, he is risen, not one of the disciples believed them. Well, did not Jesus say, on the third day I will rise again? Over and over. And the great and mighty powerful disciples, when they were told he was risen, they said, nah, couldn't be.
Yeah.
So they all got up and ran to the tomb.
Uh-huh.
And when they didn't see him, they were in, oh, I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
They must have taken him somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, those rumors took him somewhere. What is this going on here? And so here on the way to Emmaus, these were not the disciples, or one of the 12 disciples, but they were followers of Jesus. And like I said, it says here, and they were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Okay? In verse 22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Oh, they were astonished that he's risen. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said, he is alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So all these women, they're talking and they're saying, the angel is saying he's alive, but they didn't see him. So he couldn't have been alive because they didn't see him. You know, there's a whole saying that seeing is believing. But I got news for you. Have you ever seen a magician at work? A magician, sleight of hand. And, you know, you see things that is not so. Isn't that so? You can't trust your sight. You have to have faith and believe. And believe. Because I know, sometimes I'm looking for something, and I'm looking for it, and it's sitting right there. And I would say, honey, please go and look for it for me, because I can't find it. And you just walk over and pick it up.
Yeah.
So he said, put on your glasses and see so you can see. Okay? But when we're in a crisis, when we doubt and we don't believe, we see what goes along with what our doubt is, or our unbelief. Okay? When we have lack of knowledge, when we don't, that's why we have to stay in the Word. Because when you stay in the Word, you don't have a lack of knowledge. And when you have made up your mind, I'm going to believe the word, regardless of what the situation is around me, or regardless of what I have gotten myself into, you have to believe the word over anything and everything else that's going on in your life. Okay? So what do you see here? It says that many times it states that they did not see Jesus. All right, I realize I'm going to give you that Jesus changed when he rose again from the dead, so they would not recognize him. I keep wondering to myself, how much of a change did he do? Or is it that the way they were looking at him? Because they did not believe he was risen. So whoever they're talking to could not be him. You know? But going at verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Now these were Jewish people. These were Jewish men. And from what I know, Jewish boys are taught they have to study the first five books of the Bible by heart by the time they're 11 or 12 to be bar mitzvah. They have to be able to recite. Can you imagine if you had to do that? Or first Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy by heart. And yet, Jesus said, oh, you foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and at all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated he would have gone on. Okay? And they restrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Jesus is a purposeful person. He made them realize that they had not seen him. They did not know who he was. After all those years of telling them and talking to them and being with them. So it wasn't that he was a stranger and they only met him once or twice. They had known him for 3 years. And he was with them, and even when he was talking and expounding, You understand what I'm saying? What is it about this man? And then they went on to say, yes, didn't our hearts burn within us when he was talking? Huh? So how come we didn't recognize him? It was when he was breaking the bread. They said, and our hearts just burned within us when he was talking. And then when they recognized him, he vanished. I guess by that time it's Jesus, now we want to talk to you. We want you to stay with us. Yeah. We want you to be with us and to tell us all that is happening and all that is going to happen now. But Jesus said, I told you before, and you studied the Torah, so you knew all these things would have happened. And on what that is telling me, you never believed who I was. You didn't really believe who I was, because your hope and expectation was for me to deliver Jerusalem with a physical fight. When we are dealing with Jesus, or with God, or with the Holy Spirit, we've got to remember that we are subject to him, not him to us. Okay? We are subject to him. He's not subject to us. And so, therefore, we must be careful to listen, open your deaf ears, your spiritual ears, to hear. He says, when we face a crisis, is it easy to lose our perspective? When you're afraid, it's easy to lose your perspective. Okay? When you don't believe something, it's kind of hard to move on, to go forward, when you don't believe it is. And so we are to be careful what it is that we believe, what it is that we know about. Okay, a lack of understanding. What is our hope or expectations? Examine them carefully. Carefully. Okay? Unbelief. Mark 16. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, unbelief is so destructive in our relationship with God. Unbelief, Mark 16, 11. Oh, I made a look. Verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Those are the two on the road to Emmaus. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Okay? Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. And he gave them instructions. So we see Jesus was well aware of the unbelief that was so rampant among his followers. And I would imagine Jesus says, have I been so long with you? And you did not believe what I said. And even on the road to Emmaus, and when Jesus expounded, says it began with Moses and all the prophets. And they still didn't go, you know, like I said, they didn't believe. They still believe. The thought probably came across their mind, hey, this man knows the scripture. But they did not think it was Jesus. We need to stay close to Jesus, listen to him, hear what he's saying, and put all our expectations, our hopes, all our belief in him. We need to believe him. Jesus is in our midst constantly. But we don't believe that either. Because he said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He's always here. Many times he had to open their understanding. He had to open their understanding to help them to believe. I want to really just stop and think. I'll say, Sila, stop and think about it. Okay? Open the blinded eyes. Open the deaf ears. Jesus always brought us back to the Word. Always read the Word. Always take the Word in. Always. The Word is life to us. The Word is food to us. The Word is everything. Because whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's a situation, the Word should just come right up inside of you that is pertinent to that situation. And that we walk out the Word. This is why it's so important that we spend time in the Word. Because that Word is Jesus. That Word is Jesus. So it's always, he's there always talking to you, telling us and showing us the way. And you know, one of the things that I've also learned, that Jesus is the way, the only way. Well, what does that mean? Wherever you need to get to, he's the only one who can show you how to get to it. And whenever I'm presented with a situation that says, I need to get from point A to point B, and I can't think of any way, I have to go. I said, Jesus, you're the way. You're going to have to show me out. There's nobody else who can make a way like you. So if you come against a roadblock, you say, Jesus, you're the way. I wait on you to show me the way. So in all the scriptures that we have learned and we have been learning all through our lives, we need to learn to rest on him. In Ephesians, a way of preparing ourselves. Ephesians 1:17. I'm sure, being Word of Faith people, you know this by heart by now, right? Oh, Pastor, I don't hear any more yes than you. You always should know this by now, right? Yes, yes. I know. Hagin used to say, "Pray this prayer all the time." He used to say, pray it all the time, and you will note a change in you. I did it. He said, pray it all the time, and you will notice the change. That and Ephesians 3. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? And that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the excellent greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You keep praying that every day. Do it for a month. And boy, you'll be surprised of what that is opening your spiritual eyes. That is healing for your spiritual eyes. It opens your spiritual eyes because it talks about being enlightened. Open the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened. It means light coming in so you can see. Okay? And read it and pray it every day for a month. And you will see a complete change in your life. A complete change in your life. Okay? I just have one more point to bring out. In Luke 24. And I really let you think about this. Think about it. Think about how much time do we spend learning and putting into our lives what Jesus has said and what he wants us to live by. Okay? Now, when these two men from Emmaus, verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Now, who did it, do they think at that time was going to do all of that? Everybody else was in distress. Everybody else was concerned about what this horrible thing that had happened. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them by the breaking of the bread. So what is your next step? Telling it. Testimony. He said we are kept by the testimony, our word, telling others of what Jesus has done for us. And in saying it, it reminds you of who you are and what you need to be doing. Is that good? Yes, and so, you know, when you get your understanding and your enlightenment and understanding and revelation knowledge, that we may be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and breadth of His love. Understanding that He is just so awesome, so wonderful. Why don't we just get up, stand up, and just praise Him and give Him all the praise, because He's what it's all about. Just stand up and just open up your mouth and say, Lord, we just love You. We thank You. We magnify You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To You be all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Kabobore sete kama mamande tesa. Ey, setata bamando, kororo boba. Ey, shete de bahaha tete se. Alalabaso, kobobore de bebesa. Ah, sabobondo, toroba. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're missing. Because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is the Spirit praying through you. And He knows everything and He understands everything. And what we need to understand is, in the beginning, in the first part of the Bible, God, Jehovah, we hear a lot of Him. And then Jesus came. And then we hear a lot of Jesus. Then Jesus left and He said, I will send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Well, where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in us. He's in us. So, and His language is Kete Babaruyato Kumashataba Etabahai. And He demonstrates Himself through that as well. So, you know, some of us tend to ignore the Holy Spirit, but He is very God. He is God, as Jesus is God, and as Jehovah is God. Same person. Each of them having a little different thing in the presentation to us, but they're still one God. And the Holy Spirit is here with us today. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So they are in heaven. And who is here with us? Holy Spirit. Don't ignore Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't ignore Him. He's very sensitive. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's very, very sensitive. So, if you haven't received the baptism, I encourage you to do so. Okay? Hallelujah. Because he will rise up big in you when there's a crisis. When there's something that needs to be done, He'll rise big inside of you. And He will teach you all things. I like to think of Him as my CIA agent. He goes to heaven, find out all that God and Jesus is talking about, and brings it back to me.
Yeah. That's good.
You see? And so He's always telling me what they're doing and what they want and what they desire. So I will encourage you for that. All right? Don't ignore Him. The Lord bless you. And thank you for having me.
Amen, Pastor.
What was coming to me as she was talking about that is the worship song, and I'm going to try, Joy and Gina, and I may need your help, but Open the Eyes of My Heart.